Do the Psalms apply to me? We see a lot of promises in the Psalms, and David expresses complete confidence that God will provide physical relief and deliverance. As we read these Psalms and look at our own lives, we may ask, does this mean God will provide immediate relief and deliverance for me right now? Can I claim that as a promise in my life right this minute? In reality, we don't always see immediate relief or justice in this life. So how do we reconcile what we read in the Psalms with what we see in this world and in our lives? Well, these are challenging things to concepts to think about, but I want to give you five things to consider and to pray on. The first one is, the Psalms are about Israel and David's relationship with God. So this is why in some of the Psalms we see God referred to as Lord. That's the capital L-O-R-D, Lord, which is Yahweh in Hebrew. And that is God's covenant name with Israel, as opposed to his general name of sovereign God, Elohim. The Psalms are not necessarily specific promises to us. David was specifically anointed to be king of Israel. God supernaturally anointed David and made a promise that David would be king and forefather of the Messiah. This explains why David must be physically delivered from death and oppression in his lifetime and would most certainly see his enemies defeated. It also explains the strong rebuke of David's enemies when we see David calling for God to destroy them. These enemies were not enemies of David. They were enemies of God. They were trying to thwart God's plan of salvation and blessing through the Messiah according to his covenant with Israel and with David. You will see this foreshadowing of the Messiah in some of the Psalms, especially some of the Davidic Psalms, where the line between David and the Messiah seems to be blurred. An example is Psalms chapter 16, verse 10. It reads, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." Well, David died, and his body most certainly saw corruption. So this is an example of messianic foreshadowing where the psalmist is conflating David with the Messiah. Peter confirms that this psalm is in fact referring to the Messiah and not to David. In Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 31, Peter addresses this. This is what Peter says, "Brother, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, David foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that Christ was not abandoned to Hades, nor did Christ see flesh see corruption." So Peter's confirming that that was in fact referring to the Messiah, although that psalm implies that it's referring to David. So we see another example of this in Psalm 34, verse 20, which we read this week. That reads, "He keeps all of his bones, not one of them is broken." You think, well, that's an odd thing to mention when you're talking about David being protected, that not one of his bones were broken. Well, again, this is a foreshadowing of the Messiah. We see in Exodus with the Passover that Israel was to break no bones of the Passover lamb. That's in Exodus chapter 12, verse 46. So this idea that no bones would be broken on Christ was fulfilled, and we see that discussed in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 32 through 36, where it says how the centurions went and broke the bones of the others being crucified, but saw that Jesus had already died and broke no bones in his body. So that is the second point, the first point, that the Psalms are about Israel and David's relationship with God. Now, the second point, the Psalms, however, do have application for us today. There's absolutely application in the Psalms for us today. The Psalms point us to the principle about God and about God's character. They give us an example of worship, praise, and adoration. And they are a window into the human heart dealing with emotions, worship and relationship with and dependence on God. And the third point is, yes, even the promises of Psalm do have an application for us. Even the promises of Psalms do have an application for us. The Psalms show us principles of how God acts for his people. And although I previously said the Psalms were not specific promises to us today, but promises to David and Israel, we are grafted into these promises through the Messiah. John Piper has a couple of great verses that he uses to illustrate this point. The first one is in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3. In this passage, we see God calling those who thirst to come to him, and he will save them. And verse 3 reads, "Give ear, come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." So think about that. He's saying, you come if you thirst, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. And then he says, my faithful love promised David. So God will make a new everlasting covenant with those who come to him, and he will do so because of his love and promise to David. The New Living Translation, it's a looser translation, so you should somewhat consider it a little bit of commentary, but it does an excellent job of helping us understand this verse better. It reads, "Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David." So we again see that God's saying that he will make a new covenant with us because of his love and promises to David, and that we can take part in those. Psalm 18, verse 50 is even more specific about this concept. It reads, "Great salvation he brings his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever." Now remember, the Messiah came from the line of David, right? So the Messiah was an offspring of David, but we are grafted into the line of Christ, the Messiah, as well, right? As believers, we are adopted children of God. So we've been grafted in to God's people. So we are adopted offspring of David, and therefore God's promises for David are for us as well. So that sounds really great. You're thinking, that means I can claim immediate deliverance from all my enemies and immediate justice. Well, let's look at point four. Point four is God's promises to us ultimately have an eternal component. In addition to God's promise of an eternal kingdom through the Messiah, God also promised David a temporal earthly kingdom where David would sit on an earthly throne. Therefore, it was certain that God would physically deliver David in David's lifetime to ensure that God's plans and purposes would be fulfilled. Those of us grafted into the new covenant have not been promised an earthly kingdom. Jesus says in John 18, verse 36, that his kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is not of this world. Luke 17, verses 20 through 31 read, that when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' there, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." So Jesus was saying that the kingdom of God was not something you were physically going to see, but it was in us, it was amid us. So at this point, he came to rule and reign in our lives and in our hearts and to free us from the power of sin and to rebirth us as children of God, and that is his kingdom. Let me read that verse again. Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." Now, Jesus is going to have a visible kingdom that is visibly manifest. But that is a future fulfillment. Luke 19 tells us this. Luke 19 has the parable of the 10 minas. It shows the king leaving money with his servants, and he goes away to a far country. And eventually he comes back to fully establish his kingdom and to see which of his servants were faithful. And Luke says that Jesus, so this is a parable of what's happening with Jesus. Jesus is going away, leaving us his servants here. And he will come back again to us to establish his kingdom. And Luke says that Jesus told this parable because the people thought that the kingdom of God was supposed to appear immediately. So he was saying that to help them understand the kingdom was not going to appear immediately. So the full manifestation of Jesus' kingdom has not yet appeared. So we will not see an earthly fulfillment of all of the promises of the kingdom until that fulfillment happens. So we can't hope that every promise in every aspect will be fully realized at this point. So my final and last point, number 5, is what then should we take away from the Psalms? Well, take courage that God will deliver. Take comfort in God's closeness, that he hears you, he knows you. He is near to you and he cares for you. Find refuge in his promises. Experience his love as you realize that it is safe to pour out your feelings, your emotions to him, the good ones, the ugly ones, and even the questions and fears. Share your heart with him. Seek his truth wherever the path leads. Look with hope to your future deliverance, be it in this life or the next, as David looked to his deliverance.